Linda playing for us this morning, and that helps us out so much, and I do appreciate her standing in the gap there. If you got your Bible there with you, open up with me to the New Testament, and we're going to be in 1 John chapter 5. Not John chapter 5, but 1 John chapter 5, and one of my favorite chapters here in the Word of God, and one I hope will be a blessing and an encouragement to you this morning. And it's my prayer the Lord will use some of these familiar verses we're about to read, and He'll use them in your life and use them in my life to give us more assurance, to give us more faith, to be able to trust Him and follow Him and live for Him. Amen. I tell you what, there's only two ways to really fight the Lord's battles. The first one is by faith, and the second is by prayer, and they go hand in hand. And if we're losing the battle, I'll tell you why. We either lack in faith or we're lacking prayer. Amen? And as God's people, God help us to have the faith we need and to seek Him for our blessings. But 1 John chapter 5, I'm going to begin reading to you here in verse number 9 in just a moment. But if you're there already, how about you go ahead and say amen this morning? All right, that sounds like a pretty good number. And the rest of you were just scared to say amen. So we're going to hope everybody's there. And we're going to start reading here 1 John chapter 5. And of verse number 9, the Bible says here, if we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. For this is the witness of God, which He hath testified of His Son. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of His Son. And this is the record, that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I thank You, Lord, for the chance to stand and preach Your Word this morning. Lord, I pray that You'll guide my thoughts, that You'll guide my words, that, Lord, I might be able to touch the heart of maybe some lost soul in need of salvation. Lord, maybe there's some saved person here this morning that they just got their doubts. They don't have the assurance that they need that You've saved them. Lord, I pray this morning that the doubts would be settled. I pray this morning that anyone lost would come and be saved. But Lord, I pray most importantly that in all that's said and done, that Jesus would have the preeminence and the glory and the honor. Lord, fill me with Your Spirit now. Guide me as I preach Your Word, and ask it in the name of Your Son, Jesus Christ, and for His sake. Amen and amen. If you ever get to studying world religions, you get to studying all the different philosophies that men hold about eternity, you're going to find that most all of them really boil down to the same thing. If you try your hardest, if you do the very best you can, if you keep this rule or this rule and you work really hard or you make sure to pay back for the wrong things you've done, then one day you will die and you will face your Maker. And in most of the world's religions, they say when you get there, when you close your eyes in death, when you take that final breath into your lungs, and when you stand before that Maker, they say, at that moment, and at that moment alone, you will find out whether you get to go to heaven or go to hell. And yet, can I say to you this morning that the Bible is altogether different? You see, the Lord, the true and living God, His plan of salvation is far different than anything this old world has to offer. For whereas the world says you can't possibly know, whereas the world says you'll find out when you get there, the Bible said these things are written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that you have eternal life. The Bible makes it very clear that not only can we know that we're saved, but that every saved person ought to know they're saved. You say to me this morning, maybe, preacher, I don't know, and I don't really believe you can know either. Well, can I say that you're very wrong, friend? You're not wrong because I say you're wrong. You're not wrong because we have a difference of opinion. You're wrong because all throughout the Bible, I find examples of men and women who knew where they were going when they died. You go back and you ask a man by the name of Job. You see, Job was a man who suffered perhaps unlike any other man outside of Jesus Christ Himself. Job had lost all of his children. He had lost all of his belongings. His wife had turned her back on him, and his friends had begun to preach against him. And yet even in the midst of such suffering, and even in the midst of such pain, Job lifted up and said these words, "For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God." Can I tell you, a man that lived literally hundreds of years ago, even thousands of years ago, if he could lift his hand and say, "I know where I'm going when I die. I know that I'll be with the Lord when I die." Then can I say, you ought to know today? You say, "Well, preacher, that's not enough for me." Well, ask a man by the name of David. David was nothing more than a shepherd boy when the Lord found him. And yet God raised him up and made him to be the sweet psalmist of Israel. He caused him to be the greatest king that Israel ever had. And you say, "Well, was David able to know that he was going to heaven?" Can I say something to you, friend? David was an adulterer. David was a murderer. And yet David knew that heaven was his home. David said in Psalm 17, "As for me, I will behold thy face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I awake with thy likeness." Hey, friend, he said he knew he was going to get to go be like the Lord one day. But you say, "Well, preacher, those are all Old Testament men. Is there anybody in the New Testament? Is there anyone like you and me who could truly say they know that heaven is their home?" Well, I believe a man by the name of Paul would tell you so. You see, Paul, he was a Pharisee. He was a Hebrew, a Benjamite of the tribes of Israel. And he said, of all those things, if anyone was righteous on the outside, it was Paul. And yet Paul said on one occasion, "But all these things I count but loss, that I may win Christ." And Paul lived his life for Christ. He trusted Jesus Christ for his soul's salvation. You say, what would Paul say about knowing at where you're going when you die? Well, Paul said this. He said, "For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. And henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing." You know what Paul said there? He said, "I not only know where I'm going when I die, but I know I'm going to die very soon." And he said, "And I know that when I get there, I've got a reward waiting on the other side, just like all those who love his appearing." Can I tell you, friend, you read through that Bible, you're going to find men and women. You're going to find young and old. You're going to find all throughout the Word of God those who would rise up and claim that they know where they're going when they die. And that's exactly what John said here in this passage. He said, "These things are written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know." That you may know. This morning, I want to take that thought and I want to take this passage and I want to preach to you for just a little while on how I know I'm saved. How I know I'm saved. Now, can I just go as far as to say this morning that if you do not know you're saved and you're sitting here under the sound of my voice, I can tell you one thing's for sure. There's only one of two reasons why you don't know where you're going when you die. Can I tell you the first one? Will y'all listen to me real quick? Will y'all pay attention? All right. Let me tell you the first reason why you don't know where you're going. It could be that you've just never been saved. And can I say to you, friend, you can have religion and not know where you're going when you die. You can get baptized and not know where you're going when you die. Hey, friend, you can join a church and you can give money to charity and you can be the best living person, the most righteous person that you know, and yet not
have one clue where you're going when you die. But if you take Jesus Christ as your Savior, you have every reason in the world to know that heaven is your home. And I can't help but believe that some of the reason, maybe some of you, don't know where you're going is because you've simply never been saved. You've never been born again. Can I tell you what you need this morning? You need to get saved so you can know. But on the other hand, there's another reason, and there's another group sitting in this room. And maybe you're sitting here and you say, "Preacher, I believe I've trusted Christ, and I want to know that I'm saved, and you know, I professed faith in Him years ago, but preacher, I don't know that heaven is my home." Can I tell you, I believe there's a group of people out there that are saved, but have lost sight of their salvation. I believe there's those out there who have truly believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, and yet they've never been taught. They've never been trained. Perhaps they have backslid and gotten out of the will of God to such an extent that their faith has languished and they have literally forgotten what it is that Christ has done for them. Can I say to you this morning, friend, what you need? You need to get assurance. You need to find out for sure, and you need to get it settled right down here on this altar this morning that Jesus has saved your soul. But whoever you are this morning, if you are sitting here in our midst and you say, "Preacher, I do not know that heaven would be my home if I was to die today," can I say you need this message today? You need to come and get saved, or you need to come and get assurance. But it's my hope and my prayer this morning that every person under the sound of my voice would know that they're saved when they leave out of here today. And you say, "Well, preacher, I don't believe anybody can know. I just think that's kind of impossible." Well, let me take a moment and show you three ways, three reasons why I know I'm saved. I want to say first of all this morning, I know I'm saved because the Scriptures say that I am. I know I'm saved because it's written in a book. God gave me a record of it. He put it down in writing so that I can read it and study it and know that I've been born again. You say, "Well, preacher, where do you find it? I mean, where are these Scriptures that you're talking about?" Can I say this morning, I don't have to go find some original text. I don't have to go find some scholar to help me find out. I'm glad this morning that God divinely preserved and divinely inspired this King James Bible I'm preaching to you out of. And I can come to it anytime in my own language, in my own way, and I can read God's Word, and it tells me that I've been born again. I want to say to you this morning, you say, "Preacher, how do you know that you're saved? How do you know that heaven is your home?" I know it because the Bible tells me so. The Scriptures say it is. Now, can I say, friends, some people doubt their salvation because they're basing their salvation on a feeling and they're not basing it on fact. I had a conversation recently with a lady, and she was telling me, she said, I think I've trusted Christ, and I went forward in a church service, and I asked Christ to save me, but she said, "I'm not sure if I'm really saved." And I said to her, I said, "Well, what's the problem? I said, what do you think didn't save you about all that?" She said, "Well, I'm just not sure I did it right. And well, I'm just not sure that I did what I was supposed to do." And I said, "Well, what were you supposed to do?" And she said, "Well, I don't really know." You know something? People get the craziest ideas in their head. I hear this thing. People say, "Well, I don't know. Did I have a head knowledge or a heart knowledge?" I don't know. Did you believe on Jesus Christ to save you? Amen. It's a simple question, but I tell you, the devil will make it so complicated. And she got in there and she said, "Well, I just don't know. Did I do it right?" And I said, "Well, what did it take to save you?" She said, "Well, you got to believe on the Lord." I said, No. Before all that, what does it take to save you?" Some of y'all asking that question right here this morning. And she couldn't answer, so I answered it for her. You know what I said? Jesus Christ had to bleed. Jesus Christ had to suffer on a cross. Jesus Christ had to give up the ghost and lay His life down as an offering for your sin and for my sin. He had to go in that tomb for 3 days and three nights. And He had to come up victorious with the keys of hell and death on the third day. And if He did not do all that, there's nothing you and I could do to get ourselves saved. I said, "Now what do you have to do?" He says, "Believe it." And I said, "Do you believe that?" She said, "Yes, I do." I said, "You're saved." Amen. You say, preacher, it couldn't possibly be so simple. It couldn't possibly be so easy. No, friend, it is that simple. It is that easy. Christ did the difficult part. Christ did the difficult work. And salvation is simple for you and I if we will only believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. The problem I've found with folks a lot of times who get to doubting their salvation is they're basing their salvation on a feeling and they're not basing it on fact. Can I tell you something this morning? I don't always feel saved. Y'all still with me today? I kind of get in the sense some of y'all bowing out here. I'm trying to help you out this morning. I'm going to come on back this way and get back here to some of you real Baptists sitting back here in the back. You know, real Baptists only sit back in the back of the church. I'm going to try to help y'all out this morning. You know, some people basing their salvation on their feelings. They say, well, I just don't feel right. Or I'm just not as excited about it as I once was. Do you think I'm really saved? Did you believe the fact? You know what the fact is? Christ died for our sin according to the Scriptures. He was buried and He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, right? You say, what's that? That's a fact. That's not any feeling. It doesn't matter whether that makes you happy or sad or glad or mad or anything else in between. It's a fact, amen? And nothing you do and nothing I do is ever going to change it because it's a fact. And you know what saved my soul? It wasn't that I got an oogly-googly feeling in my belly. It wasn't that all of a sudden I had some indigestion or something. I thought that meant I was saved. No, friend, what saved me was not my feelings. It was the fact that Jesus died for Morgan Lester. And I realized that He died for me. I believed that He rose again that I might have everlasting life. And I placed my faith in a fact that God put in a book. And God saved my soul from it. What I'm saying to you this morning, friend, is that you don't get saved by your feelings. You get saved by a fact, and God has placed it in the Scriptures. I think about that old Ethiopian eunuch there in Acts chapter 8. Some of y'all don't know much about that old Ethiopian eunuch. He ain't spoken of much in the Bible. Oh, but he's an important person, important character in the Word of God. You know what that Ethiopian eunuch was doing? He was up there riding around in the queen's chariot. And right there in his hand, he had him a copy of the book of Isaiah from the Old Testament. And he got to reading in that book of Isaiah as he rode along in that chariot. And as he got to reading the words of a book, amen, y'all still with me? As he got to reading what the Scriptures had to say, he got to pouring through those lines, and before too long, you know what he read? He read a text where it said He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him. And with His stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on Him the iniquity of us all. He got to reading those words. And you know what happened? The Holy Spirit of God came into that heart. And said, you want to know who that's talking about? I believe that Ethiopian eunuch said back to the Holy Ghost, yes, sir, I want to know who that's talking about. I want to know who it is that bore my sin. I want to know who it is that was wounded for my transgressions. I want to know who that's talking about. You say, what'd the Holy Ghost do? He sent him a preacher. Some people say, I want the Lord to talk to me audibly if I'm going to get saved. He'll send you a preacher. That's how He'll talk to you audibly. And He sent him a preacher by the name of Philip. Philip climbed up in that chariot right there by that Ethiopian eunuch. And he said, what you reading, buddy? That's the Morgan Lester International Standard something version. I don't know. He said, what's up? What you reading there, buddy? And he said, I don't know. I'm reading here these verses talk about somebody wounded for me, somebody who died for me, but I don't know who it could be. And Philip looked at him and said, do you understand what thou readest? He said, how could I understand except some man show me? Some man lead me. And the Bible said, from that point forth, Philip preached unto him Jesus. Hey, from that point forth, the preacher preached unto him Jesus. Jesus was wounded for our transgressions. Jesus was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon Jesus Christ. And with His stripes we are healed. You say, what are you saying, preacher? What I'm saying is you're going to have to come to Him the same way that Ethiopian eunuch did, according to the book, according to the facts. You say, preacher, how do you know you're saved? I'll tell you how. The Scriptures tell me I am. But not only do I know I'm saved from the Scriptures, but I know I'm saved this morning Because the Spirit says I am. Say, what Spirit? Not just any Spirit. Not an unclean Spirit. But the Holy Spirit of God. That third person of the Trinity. He's told me I'm saved too. So how could that possibly be? Preacher, did he talk to you in a voice? No, sir, it was much louder than that. He said, oh, well, you're talking about some nice little feeling or something. Well, it certainly does have a feeling to it, but it ain't based on feeling. It's still based on fact. Can I say to you this morning, friend, if you're saved, you have the witness within yourself. Do you notice that's exactly what he told us here in our text? Look there with me about verse number 10. He said, he that believeth on the Son of God, you see those next few words, hath the witness in himself. You say, well, what's that? I'll tell you what that is. That's the Holy Spirit of our God. You know what that Bible said about the Holy Spirit in the life of a believer? It said in Romans chapter 8, the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. I don't know if this is exactly right. Y'all still with me this morning? Y'all still here? You glad you're saved this morning? You glad the Spirit of God came in, dwelled in your body and saved you and gave you the earnest of the Spirit? Are you glad about that? All right, let's get in on it this morning. All right, that Spirit, he said, beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And you know what that tells me? I've felt that witness of the Spirit before. I've heard it before. You know when I've heard it? Sitting in a church service just like this one. You know what used to happen when somebody would preach the gospel to me? Somebody would get in there and say, hey, I get to sitting in a church like this one, have a preacher up there in that pulpit. And that preacher would get in there and get to preaching, Jesus saves, Jesus saves, Jesus saves, Jesus died for your sins, Jesus lives forevermore. They'd preach the gospel to me. And you know what would happen? Back when I was lost, I'd feel conviction. Back when I was lost, I'd feel guilt. I would say, well, Lord, he's saying that to me. Lord, it couldn't be me. And I used to dread the thought of having to have my sins be paid for. I used to dread the thought of having to go to hell. Amen. Can I just tell you what I believe? That y'all can disagree with me on this if you want to. But kind of what I believe about that witness of the Spirit is when I sit in church now, and a preacher stands up and preaches that Jesus saves, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. And I'm sitting down in that pew. Can I tell you the thought that goes through my head ain't, oh no. The thought that goes through my head is, amen. Hey friend, it's glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise the name of Jesus. You say, why? I'm glad that he died for me. Because he paid the price for my sin. Because I know I'm saved. You say, what is it? I'm telling you, friend, your thoughts change when you get saved. I had somebody ask me one time, kind of like I was telling you earlier. I had somebody say, well, I'm just really doubting myself. I was just wondering. I don't know if I prayed right. I don't know if I did this right or if I did that right. And, well, you know, was it a head knowledge or a heart knowledge? People get into all that kind of mess. And got in there and saying all that stuff. Said, well, it is. And I told him, I said, you're all right. He said, what do you mean I'm all right? How can you be so sure? And I said, lost folks don't worry if they prayed right. Amen. Some of y'all backing out on me right now. I said, lost folks ain't worried about whether they got all the details right in it. Lost folks think they're going to heaven because they're good. Lost folks think they're going to heaven because they're religion. I said, saved folks don't have to worry about that. We know we've believed on Jesus Christ. Can I tell you this morning, friend, that Bible said the Lord has given us the earnest of the Spirit. Y'all know what earnest is? Earnest, the word earnest means serious. You're earnest. You're somebody who's very grave, very serious about something, right? And y'all know what earnest money is, don't you? Some of y'all, you put down some earnest money before. When you find something that's real expensive, but you want to let it be known that you're earnest, that you're serious about buying that thing, you know what you do a lot of times? You go get a down payment. And that down payment, you go down there and you drop down $2,000, $3,000, $4,000, whatever it may be. You go drop that down on it and you say, here you go. This right here signifies that I'm real serious about this purchase right here. You say, what is that? That's earnest money. That Bible over there, you know what it said about the Spirit? It said when you get saved and you take Jesus Christ, It said the Lord gives you the earnest of the Spirit whereby we are sealed unto the day of redemption. You say, what's that mean? That means God said, I'm so serious about saving Denver Teague's soul that I'm going to put down the earnest. And you say, what is it? It's not money. It's not gold. It's not silver. I'm giving my Spirit to him to signify I'm serious about saving his soul. Hey, friend, when God decides to save a sinner like you and me, he comes in there and he takes old Ed Beeler when he called upon the name of the Lord. And he said, here's what I'm going to do. So the devil knows. And so the angels in glory know. And so all down through the ages, every soul and every man and every woman will know that he's one of mine. I'm giving the earnest of my Spirit. Can I say, friend, what that tells me this morning? That tells me not only do the Scriptures say I'm saved, but the Spirit of God says I'm saved. And thank God for that still small voice. When the doubts begin to come up in my heart. Hey, friend, when my faith begins to wane, and I start to say, did that really happen? Did it really take place? Did Jesus really save me? Thank God for the Spirit that comes by and says, I was there. I saw it take place. I was part of it myself. And you're one of my own. I thank God the Spirit says I'm saved. I know I'm saved because the Scriptures say it. I know I'm saved because the Spirit says it. But I want to say to you this morning, I'm about done. I know I'm saved because the Savior says it. Now, can I just tell you what, friend? The Holy Spirit and the Savior, the Holy Spirit and God the Son, I'm talking three in one, one in three, and the one in the middle died for me. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. I believe they are equal, 100%. Don't y'all dare think I don't. But I do want to make one thing very clear to you. Jesus is the most trustworthy one you've ever known. Even if you've never met him, even if you don't know him in salvation, can I tell you something? You'll never find a friend as trustworthy as Jesus. Now, the truth is, you might come to me and say, Preacher, I want you to meet me down here at Hardy's tomorrow morning at 8 a.m. And I might say, you know what? I like me one of those good smoked sausage biscuits. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Butter, that all-purpose flour, a little baking soda and baking powder in there, some lard. Not just butter. You got to have butter to make it kind of brown and get golden, but you got to have lard to give it that flavor. Amen. Pig fat. Glory to God. Get those good buttery biscuits in there and that smoked meat. I like smoked meat. You can smoke anything. I mean, you just about smoke possum and I'd probably eat it. I like smoked. I just like the taste of smoke. You say, Preacher, I want you to meet me down at Hardy's tomorrow, get one of those smoked sausage biscuits, and we're going to sit down and have us a time and talk. And I might say, well, you know what? I really like one of those smoked sausage biscuits, and I really want to meet you there. I'll meet you right there at 8 a.m. And yet you know what might happen? Actually, you know what's very, very prone to happening with me? Y'all pray for me. I'll probably show up about 8:20. Because I've never met a preacher in my life that ain't running late everywhere he goes. Amen. Never met a preacher in my life didn't drive fast. And I might be late. I tell you another thing, I might not make it. My car might break down. That's also prone to happening too. I might forget. That's prone to happening too. Y'all know, I'm about half plumb dumb. Y'all pray for me. I might not make it because I might not be that trustworthy. By the way, unless y'all sitting there going, well, Preacher, how do you ain't either. You ain't either. The truth is, any number of things could happen in your life or mine that would cause us to not be able to do what we said we were going to do. Amen? We've all known somebody where if somebody else says, well, so-and-so said they were going to do this, said they were going to do that, and you go, well, you know so-and-so. You know what that person's saying? You can't count on them. It's not going to happen. You just got to know how they are. Can I tell you, that could be said of any of us at certain times in our life, certain circumstances. But it can never, y'all get this, y'all stick with me, it could never be said of Jesus. It could never be said of our Savior. Every single thing He's ever said He would do, you know what happened? He did it. Every single promise He ever made, He's fulfilled it to the nth degree. Everything that He has intended, everything that He has said has come to pass on the money. And if there is anybody, there is not one soul on this earth that could come close to being as trustworthy and as authoritative as Jesus. And so you say, well, preacher, how do you know you're saved? Well, I'll tell you, I know because the Scriptures tell me so. I know because the Spirit of God tells me so. But can I say, I know this morning because the Savior tells me so. Over in John chapter 6, Jesus made one of the simplest statements I've ever heard. Can I read it to you? He said, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. He that believeth on me hath everlasting life. You know what you want to do? You want to complicate that. You want it to say, he that believeth on me and gets baptized. That's what the old Church of Christ says. Believes and gets baptized and lives a good life and joins the church and everything else. No, he said, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. You know what the Catholic Church wants it to say? They want it to say, he that takes the sacraments and prays to Mary and does this many Hail Marys and twirls his rosary beads and bows down and joins the church and gets involved and holds fast unto the end hath everlasting life. But it didn't say that. It said, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. Y'all getting it this morning? There's some folks that want it to say, he that believeth on me and lives a really good life and endures to the end and doesn't ever backtrack and do anything wrong ever again hath everlasting life. But Jesus didn't say that. Jesus said, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. Now I'm about done, but let me say this. Some want it to say, he that believeth on me may have everlasting life, or will have everlasting life. But that ain't what it said. When Jesus spoke, he said, he that believeth on me, y'all getting it? Amen. Hath. You say, what's that? That's present tense. Means I've got it right now. I'm not waiting to find out. I'm not waiting to get it when I die. I'm not hoping it comes in the mail. I have everlasting life through Jesus Christ. I've got it right now. That's what he said. That's not the position of Ball Road Baptist Church. That's not just the position of Morgan Lester. That is the very word and the very promise of the Lord Jesus Christ. He that believeth on me hath everlasting life. Let me ask you a question this morning. We'll get ready to have a time of invitation. I've got a very important question for you. Y'all listen in real good. Do you have everlasting life? Have you been saved? You say, well, preacher, I don't know. That's a difficult question. No, it's not. He that believeth on Jesus hath everlasting life. It's pretty simple, isn't it? Not even all that many syllables in that sentence, just a real simple statement. And yet that is the most important statement for eternity that you'll ever hear. He that believeth on me, Jesus Christ, hath everlasting life. Do you have everlasting life? If you sit here this morning and you say, preacher, I'm not sure, can I tell you, have you believed on Him? Have you believed on Him? Have you taken Christ? Have you received Him? You know what that text we just read said? It said, and this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. It's in Jesus. Do you have Jesus this morning? Then you have eternal life. If you don't have Jesus this morning, can I tell you it's as simple as this? You don't have eternal life. I know I'm saved today. I don't want y'all to think this has anything to do with trying to be macho. It doesn't. I don't want y'all to think this, it's not all right, that I think it's not all right to cry. It certainly is. Tears are very, Jesus wept. Amen. When I tell you that as I walked in there, back into that room, and I saw that body yesterday evening. By the way, that's all it was a body. The soul had done gone and departed, but the body was there. As I walked in and I looked at that body, I didn't cry. I didn't feel any need to cry.
Amen.
You say, well, preacher, you must think you're pretty tough. You misunderstand me completely. That is far from the truth. I'm as weak and as frail and as sissified as anybody in the world. I am not tough one bit. I'm scared of spiders. I ain't tough. Had nothing to do with toughness or manliness or macho-ness. Had nothing to do with, you know, stiff upper lip or anything like that. Nothing. I didn't feel the need to cry. And you say, why? Because I know my papa was saved. And I know where he's at right now. And if I drop dead before I finish my next sentence, I know where I'm going. If I drop dead out in that parking lot here in about 20, 30 minutes, can I tell you something? I know where I'm going. And if you don't know where you're going this morning, if you do not know beyond a shadow of a doubt, you ought to come today. Let me show you the record. Let me show you what God has said. And let you know that you have eternal life through Jesus Christ. Lord, I thank you for the opportunity to preach your word this morning. I pray now you'll take this message, use it to draw people unto yourself, use it to build our faith, to settle our doubts, and Lord, help us to go on for Jesus. For we ask it in Jesus' name and for His sake. Amen and amen. If the Lord has dealt with your heart this morning, whatever it may be about,